So, let me calm down for a bit. It's been a while since I've been up here. And I guess we'll get right into it. And there's been a lot of new folks that have been coming since the last time I stood up here. And so I thought I would just give you a brief testimony of who I am. Some of you, most of you all know me, but some don't, I guess. And but for those that aren't familiar who I am, my name is Jason Sadek. I was born into a Christian home in 1980. Yes, that makes me 45. I just had a birthday, so thank you for that. My parents are Jeff and Mary Sadek. They sit with us over there. They teach the 2 to 5 year old Sunday school class, and I'm happy to be in church with them. I was saved on July 24th, 1986, and with my mother, I knelt there in one afternoon. That afternoon, and accepted Lord as my personal Savior. And at that time, my family was attending First Baptist Church in Rosemount. And in 1987, through some friends of the family, my dad was asked if he'd be willing to be part of a new church in the Minneapolis area. Pastor Stevens had just graduated Bible College and moved to Minnesota. And I remember going to the first church service there, and it was in one of the individual's homes. They had a pool, and it was the backdrop was the pool, because they had an open spot there, and there was, I don't know, probably a handful of us that were there. And that was the first church service I remember of, at the time, I think it was Bible Baptist Church. And so, yeah, kind of goes back a long ways. And by God's grace, we've been part of this ministry ever since, and happy to be here. In 1997, I met my wife, Jessica, at a grocery store that we worked at in St. Paul, and soon after that, she started coming to church with me. In 2002, we were married, right here, and the first message pastor ever preached in this new edition from that. Some of you may not, this is a new part since 2002. The first message pastor preached here was at our wedding. And so it's been good. The Lord's been good to us. And I've seen many folks come and go through the years. Some have stayed, some have gone, some have returned. And I'm thankful for that. Some are serving elsewhere. And but it's just good to be here. I hope that's just a little bit of who I am. And I've been here a long time. So thankful for that. Go ahead and open up to 2 Timothy. Find 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore by God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be able to meet here. Thank you for the safety that you've provided. Lord, thank you for these folks coming out. Lord, they didn't come to hear from me. They came to hear from you. And Lord, I ask that you would move me out of the way. Lord, please wash me and cleanse me in the blood. Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance to anybody here. And Lord, please just help what is said to be a help to somebody, help to be encouraged. And Lord, just thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for just your provisions for us, Lord, and all that you've done. Pray you would just bless now as we embark on these things for a few minutes. And just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So this has been on my mind a lot lately and over the past few months. And as the days grow on, I hear little tidbits now and then of people kind of throwing in the towel. And or they have compromised, but they don't stand where they once stood. And when I hear that, I have to ask myself why or how. How does one get to that point? Why does one get to that point? And I don't know that I have a complete answer. But then I have to examine myself and keep asking God for help, because I need to keep being encouraged and to keep pressing on. We need to keep fighting. And I know this last weekend with Pastor and going through Romans, I know this kind of he hit on some of this last weekend. And it's been of recent as well. But it's important. That's something that we always have to keep being reminded of. A couple years ago, I went through this as well. Some of it's kind of similar. So I apologize if this sounds redundant, but I believe that this is one of the most important issues we as Bible believers and Christians face on a daily basis. If you're honest with yourself, you could probably be along the same lines as I am, but there have been many times that I've wanted to throw in the towel and just to give up, just to quit, go do something else. And the Lord's changed my mind, and he's helped me. But through the preaching and teaching and leaning on each other, by the grace of God, we are still here. And I hope you all understand that the reason you're here today is because of the grace of God. We are just one step, literally one step, away from not being here. And when I talk about not being here, it's not somebody who's serving elsewhere in a different church. It's somebody who's not serving anywhere. And I'm not trying to bring to light anybody that you may know, but I know some people who I once served with, and they're in a different state right now. They're in a different place, and they're not serving. And they're so zealous and on fire, and it's like, how does one get to where they are today? And so that type of thought has pressed upon me to always keep that going in my mind, and this kind of comes back up for me. Some years ago, I was at one of those crossroads, and I'm sure some of you have been there, and the Lord convicted me through preaching that it's not time to quit. Around that time, I had asked the Lord what he would like me to do, or what more can I do for you, was the question that I actually asked him. And I'm humbled and I'm privileged to be serving him today. But when I asked the Lord, what more would you like me to do, what he has me doing is not what I envisioned. This is not what I envisioned at all. And many of you know that. I've said that more than once. But I've counted a privilege and an honor to be able to do what I'm doing today for the Lord. But I don't know about you guys, but each day as we go on, you can feel the spiritual pressure get tighter and tighter. I don't feel a breath of fresh air after January 20th. Some may say they do, but I personally don't. I believe that the more we are willing to step out for Jesus Christ, And the more you try to do for him and draw closer to him, there's going to be somebody that's going to go stronger against you. The adversity is going to grow stronger and stronger against you, against us, the more we try to do. So here in 2 Timothy, you see how Paul has gone through so much in his life. And what he says, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Turn with me over to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Things are going to happen in our life that are going to want to make us quit the fight. It's just the way it is. There's no way around it. And if you're honest with ourselves, be honest with yourself, you have it really good. You have it really good. And when you on your worst day, this has kind of helped me and put things in perspective. On your worst day, just look around or think of somebody else, and they probably have it. You probably still have it better than they do. So forget the woe is me stuff and just be encouraged that you have it good. You read about the life of Paul. There's a biblical example of somebody who had it worse than you have it. The afflictions, the things he suffered. I was sitting on the couch this morning thinking about that, and I haven't encountered any of the things that I don't think he encountered. I haven't been stoned, I haven't been put in prison. Maybe people said nasty things to me, but that's, who cares? But through all what Paul suffered, what Paul went through in his life and his Christian walk with the Lord, in the end, he said, like I said earlier, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So when things get tough, just think about what Paul went through and what he endured. And there's many other people in the Bible that you could draw that same example from. But you know, sadly, what we allow to happen is we allow the smallest things to take us out of the race. And now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to quit. We are going to suffer some things. Everybody goes through things differently. But everything we go through in life, it's going to make us perfect. It's going to establish us. It's going to strengthen us. And it's going to settle us. Now, we won't be perfect until the Lord comes and gets us. But we can strive every day to be perfect. It's just, you're a human being and you can't be perfect. I know, some don't be shocked. I'm not perfect. Shh, be quiet. Mrs. Sadek. On a side note, I'm really honored and blessed to have her in my life. She is a really good helpmeet. She does a lot behind the scenes. As many of you know, I'm involved in a lot of little different things, and she keeps it going. I give her a lot of credit. I don't give her the credit she deserves, let's put it that way. That was not there. So anyways, back to... So all that to say is there's an instance in the... There's a passage in the Bible that always comes to my mind when I hear or when I think about people that I've known through the years that have quit fighting. And that passage is a very common passage. You've heard many, there's sermons out of it. You can preach so many different ways out of it. But turn with me over to Luke 15. I hope this isn't cliche or redundant, but to me this is something that's very important and that I find myself easily could be struggling with on a daily basis. And I have to keep reminding myself that's not worth it. So Luke chapter 15, verse number 11, very preachable, very popular parable here. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And this passage always come to mind for me, and it helps keep things into perspective. And from the essence of, I think of the father in this instance here. I can see myself in both of the sons. The younger son not being a good steward of what the Lord has given me and wasting it on foolish things. Each one of us in here is one step away from being like the younger son. Be honest with yourself. The Lord's given you a lot. He really has. And like we've been going through Romans, the pastor's talking about the body. We all have different talents. We all have different things. But we all have a lot. And it's we need to be good stewards and not waste it. The older son, growing bitter, growing unthankful, and not being thankful for what the Lord has done for you and what you have been a part of all these years. Right? I can see myself on both aspects of that. And we have to be careful. We have to maintain a balance. But in this case, I can't help but think of the father here, the two sons. You have a son that turns away and goes to a far country. That's very troubling on a father, on a mother. Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. We know the son wasn't going to Campeche, Mexico for a missions trip, right? He went and wasted his substance with riotous living. He asked the father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And the father divided it, and not many days later, he was gone. He was gone. Foolishness. So all that to say is we see here an example of something that can take somebody out of the race. And legitimately, I could take somebody out. You talk about taking the wind out of your sails. That could do that. And that's I keep that in mind. You know, the father, the many nights, sleepless nights, the many tears that have been shed. How about the stress it put on the rest of the family? Some of the things that you don't think about. But you know what this really kind of hits home about is how our Father feels in heaven when we do stuff like when we do this on a daily basis, when we sin against Him. But you know what? Yeah, we're saved. If you're in here and you're saved, he's not. You're there. You're in heaven, but he's going to be there all the time, just waiting. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he's waiting. He's being merciful, and he's always waiting there with open arms to invite you back. And we shouldn't allow that to be an excuse to do what we want to do whenever we want to do it. I have, think of your kids if you need in here. I have kids, and as a son and a father, I don't want that to do that. I don't want that for my kids. I don't want them. He'll always be there. I'll just do whatever I want, and he'll always accept me. But that's not the right attitude to have. That's not the right mentality. And eventually, if that was one of my child, eventually it's just going to be like, I don't want to get to the point where I was like, don't ever come back. You're called cried wolf, right? Cried wolf too many times. And then when it's really big, then you're not there for him. And I don't want God to do that to me. And how many times a day do we do that? How many times a day do we really do that? It should be pretty humbling when you sit and think about it. Kind of convicting, actually. But as we know in the passage here, through all what the Son did, the Father remained faithful. Because we know the Son comes back home. It says it. And the faithfulness of the Father here in Luke 15 is something that we should remember next time we are faced with the thought of quitting. And I guess try to put yourself in his shoes. And maybe this, as I get through this, maybe it'll kind of click a little bit, I guess. I don't know. Let's keep on going. So then you might ask yourself, well, why is it important? Why is it important that we remain faithful? That's always kind of been a question that some ask. It's been something that I always ask. Why is it important? Well, in Psalms 119, 89 through 90, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." As the Lord is faithful to us, we need to be faithful for the next generation. Our children, those around us, our friends, our family. Proverbs 13:22, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children." The Lord left us this. We need to be faithful for the next generation. You know, if we don't remain faithful, how are we going to be able to be there for when the prodigal son comes home? How are we going to be able to be there to help somebody that's down, that's stuck in the muck, stuck in the mire? You know, there's someone there is at the point of eating what the swine eat. And they're looking for help. They're looking for somebody that can help them. They might acknowledge or know that there's a God in heaven, but they might need help getting to reach out to ask the Lord how to help. We have to be there. If we were to quit, if we were to give up, then what's the point? What's the point? If the Father here in Luke 15 didn't remain faithful, what good would it have been to the Son? And what a letdown. What a letdown it would have been for him to come home and find the Father's not there. You know, we all go to work, we all work around different people, and everybody knows where you stand. Even if you don't say much, just by how you I would hope by how you carry yourself, people know that there's something different about you. And all of a sudden, if you flipped 180 degrees, they would see that faster than anything you could imagine. And it is, if you just sit back and watch and pay attention to how, to little things you do, and people, you will be amazed how people are watching you. It actually blows my mind sometimes. And I'll give you an example. Years ago, a person at work was, that was over the whole COVID stuff, and he come to me and I made a decision. He goes, I can't believe you did that. I've never seen a man love the Lord as much as you. And that alone kind of took me back by surprise, because I'm not one to always, I don't preach at work or anything like that. But how he knew how I carried myself and how I was, he goes, I can't believe you the whole shot thing, how you chose money, because they said I had to take it for my job, how you chose that over religion or faith or something. I forget what he said. But I then had to remind him. I said, do you remember when I first told you that if I had to do that in order to be able to travel the world and still help minister to people, I'd be first in line? Yeah, I respect that. But I didn't really, all that to say is, I was kind of taken back by how he said, I've never seen anybody that loved the Lord more than you. And I only see him at work occasionally, not all every day, but not all day long. And I haven't really expounded to him anything. So all that to say is, people are watching you. People know more about you than you realize. And I tell you what, somebody's looking to find they're looking in you to try to find an excuse to keep doing what they're doing. And as the minute you change course, that gives them the okay to do what they want to do. I don't know how else to say it. I've been, you know, I don't drink. I haven't gone to the, I don't go to the bars, but guys at work will go, and once I'll go if there's like a retirement thing, and stop in, say hi, and be done. But if they go out, they'll ask me. No, and if I do go, it's just a soda or something. But but the second I start going on a regular basis, or the second that I'm like, yeah, I'll have a little try, it's over. It's over. And I'm not saying it's over for me. It's over for me in the essence of what my testimony stands for. But it just wiped away any credibility that I have that it's wrong to be doing that stuff. And they know that. So I have no idea how I got on that, but we need to, oh, what a letdown it would be, right? What a letdown. So what a letdown it would be if the Father is nowhere to be found. You have somebody in your life that is watching you. The testimony of our faithfulness is going to help someone when we are least expecting it to. I guess all that to say that. If we give up because we are tired of going through discomforts, how is that going to be helpful to anybody? And I said, like I said, think of the letdown to those around us. And you know, when you, if you do decide to quit, you do decide to, this ain't worth it, which I don't know why you would decide, but I guess when you get to that point, I can only understand it. You're still going to have discomforts. They're not going to go away. Discomforts are always going to be there. But it's going to be much more difficult to navigate those discomforts if you've forsaken the Lord. So if you're thinking about quitting, you're thinking about throwing in the towel because of the discomforts of the things in life that you go through, They're still going to be there. They're still going to be there. It's just going to be a lot more difficult because you won't have... The Lord's going to be there, but he's not going to be there. And you're not going to have each other. It's going to even make it even harder. And the people that then you try to find and get leaned on and lean on for help, they don't care. They're just going to kick you out down the road like a tin can anyways. And they might say they're going to help you, that they'll be your friend. That won't last long. So don't let the idea of saying, oh, it'll be much easier on the other side. No, it's not going to be much easier. And for those who think the world has more to offer, I don't know what you see. But remember this. The heart gets into the far country long before the body does. And you know what? Today, the far country isn't very far. It's in your pocket, really. It's much closer than we realize with the age of technology that we live in. If you love anybody more than you love Jesus Christ, if any hope is fairer to you than your hope of heaven, or if you love any book more than you love the Bible, you have already started for the far country. And the far country is a waste. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's a huge expense. You think you're spending a lot of money now as a Christian? Mm-mm. The young man was deceived. He was deceived. And sin comes by way of subtlety, right? If you want an example of that, read Proverbs 7. Sin is expensive. Sin is expensive. And like I said before, it's going to chew you up and spit you out so fast, it'll make your head spin. And you'll just be kicked on down the road. In the world, what does the world leave us with? What does the world leave us with? It leaves us with a slop bucket. And what did it in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You're going to be left just to feed pigs. You're going to be left with nothing. Nobody's going to care about you. And even though those people that enticed you and deceived you said they would care about you, in the end, they won't. They won't. So why do we need to remain faithful? Because it's important to be there for when someone comes back to the fold. You have to be careful because you have the older son. Look at the older son who stayed and remained faithful. And he's a good example of somebody that can grow bitter and grow angry and ungrateful. Even though he has it all, you can still grow bitter and grow angry. And you can look at a situation like he did and look at all the fame and fun and pomp and circumstance that this guy's getting. And you become angry. It's because you're not being thankful of what you have been, how do I put this? So I guess, let me just think about this for a second. If, like in my case, I was saved at a young age. I was blessed to grow up in this church. And I'm not saying that kept me from going astray or participating in anything the world has to offer. But I need to be gracious and thankful of what I haven't had to go through. I need to be thankful and gracious of the baggage that I don't have to carry around. I don't want to say it like that, but the baggage that I don't have to carry around that some people do. And I think for like myself and maybe some of us younger people that have grown up in churches, we need to not just get reluctant and just allow that just to be our like, oh, I don't have, that's just them. They're more excited about things than I am. I think we should be more excited and more thankful that we've had good examples around us our whole life and that we've have stayed in the faith, in the fight, and that maybe it should help us pray more for those that are carrying around a little heavier bag than I'm carrying around. And it's, and when you see somebody that come back into the fold, to be excited for them, to try to help them instead of just being like, well, look at everybody flock to that person. Nobody's paying attention to me. And you know, like I said, as the older son, you quickly then at that point quickly forget, like, hey man, I've been eating ribeyes for the last 2 months, and my brother's been eating wanting the pigs eat. But look at, he's getting all the pomp and circumstance that I don't get any of that. And you can see how that can grow bitterness. And it's something that I have to work on, because I can so see myself in the older son, and I need to work on that, and I need to not let bitterness and envy get in the way of being thankful and gracious. And to be thankful for what the Lord has helped me to stay away from. And after all, right, it was a glorious day when you came to yourself. How do you forget about, you shouldn't forget about that. Yeah, we should grow beyond that point, but we shouldn't forget about that. And God reached down and he helped you and pulled you out of that pig pen, right? In verse number 22, it says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And don't forget about what of where you've been, of what the Lord has done for you. And you can't help but think about, I got this note, I was thinking about this too. Paul mentioned Demas. Don't be a Demas and forsake the Lord. Because there's gonna be a Demas that's gonna come to you in your life, and they're gonna be counting on you to be there for them. And if you forsake the Lord, then what, not saying what chance do they have, but what chance do they have? What chance do they have? We'll turn over to 1 Chronicles. So maybe back to the question of how or why does somebody get to the point of quitting or throwing in the towel? If we were to put a title on this, I titled it Don't Quit or Don't Throw in the Towel. And you can take this and go a totally different direction as well. But 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father, 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9, the Bible says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found out of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off from thee. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And this is where Solomon was being told to go build the temple, to go build the house of the Lord, because David couldn't do it because he was a man of war. And all that to say is one answer that I see as to why some person would decide to leave the fight is because they're not willing to fight anymore. You don't have a willing mind, you don't have a willing heart. And without that, I mean, what's the saying go? If there's a will, there's a way. I've said it at work all these years. If there's a will, there's a way. And it's gonna be tough. Verse 10, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Put your big boy pants on and do it. As much as sometimes you want to quit, you just got to get up and do it. And just be strong about it. And the Lord will be there to help you. But I believe that for myself, I've seen the Lord bless my family and I with opportunities. And I mean, many of you can say the same thing, that otherwise if we weren't faithful in what God has called us to do, we would not have seen those blessings. With a willing heart, the Lord will bless you with more opportunities to do things for him. And that's the key. You got to be willing to do it. But you also have to remain faithful in what he has called you to do already. How would you know what more you want him to do if you're not remaining faithful? And this went a little quicker than I thought, but with a willing heart. So this has been something that's been on my mind. I pray it's a help to you guys. And it's just something I think that we have to constantly be on guard for, because we're, like I said, we're one step away from quitting and throwing in the towel. And with the poll of today, it's even easier. You got so much information at your fingertips. It's just so much easier just to get lazy and laxed and just say, I'm done. And now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to quit. Each day each day grows closer and closer to the Lord coming back, or the time he's calling you home. And now's not the time to quit. So let's pray. Heavenly Father,